As I say, it's like living in deja vu, constant deja vu, always knowing, because you study history, you study the agenda, you study the reports and the papers and the books put out by the big think tanks over the years, all going in the same direction, all expounding their vision of their utopia, peace on the planet for themselves at the top, can only be completed when there's no thinking people beneath them, no people with independent thought or the ability to even have independent thought. You mark my words, all the big New Age gurus that have been put out there over the many years and well-financed at the top and well-coordinated too from the top under a myriad of names and organizations who all promote the same stuff and have the same religious buzz terms, vocabulary that they're given. They will all tick you off in different directions that you think you're in your own little select areas and paths, and bring you all back onto the same road of being one. Even those that you think are fighting it will bring you onto that same road of being one through altered states of consciousness. That's what it's all about. That's the main purpose of the propaganda and the indoctrination. Try drugs, try this, try that, try meditation, and then it'll be the final part, because the whole intent is to get you to want altered states. Here's the electronic version coming to a chip near you and for you. Always give the people their shepherds, the good shepherds, and the sheep will follow. Make a sheep pen and they will come. Sad, isn't it? And very predictable. But religion has been a tool for thousands of years across the planet to guide and shape and conquer the minds of people. Every major player at the top today has at one time or other mentioned that fact, that it's always been used, and that they will use a new type, a new form, a new religion to get them into the final phase, based on a form, what the people think is a form of earth worship. But in reality, the new priesthoods will be white-coated experts, experts who will tell you what they need to do to save Mother Earth, and a whole generation will be brought up who will know nothing about their indoctrination. That's all they will be told. That will be their only reality. And they'll volunteer for sterilization. And they'll be given little extra social value points, little perks in society if they do so. They'll even be held up as heroes amongst the people. Just like the Soviets would publish their employee of the week, their laborer of the week or the month, who'd put out so much of a quota of production for the people. You'll get the same propaganda spiels about young people who will become sterilized to save the planet. The right to reproduce, the final right, because most of it's already been given away, but the final right will be given up by many, if not all. Deja vu indeed. A new religion, as they said, a long time ago would have to be created. But to create a new religion, first you have to blend existing ones, the familiar. A new one coming out of nowhere won't take, because all religions really are hatched on the backs of previous ones. That's why they take with the first generation they're applied to. There has to be a familiarity which you can identify with from your previous religion. Therefore, the New Age, as Blavatsky said, would blend the religions of the West with those of India and the Far East. And it has been successful because it's a stepping stone to where they want to bring everyone. And deep behind all major religions, you'll find them taking stories and borrowing stories from much, much older ones, often going all the way back to India. The New Age, which is simply a blend of shamanism and pantheism, Hinduism, a big dash of Hinduism, and some Buddhism, all the isms, will eventually go into the direction which they all were designed to go into, where you become one. The first step in becoming one is to convince the followers that everything, and they'll use the term illusion, is illusion, but what they really mean is it's not real at all. An illusion, remember, is a distortion of a reality, like looking through an old-fashioned pane glass window from the side. You'll get a distortion of a reality which is there. But what they're really telling you when they say illusion is that nothing is real whatsoever. That's the greatest trick of mind control. You lose your identity in such thinking. You lose your persona in such thinking. And what they do in brainwashing is called depersonalization. It's the first main step in brainwashing a victim. That's why they use this technique of saying nothing at all is real. I've often used the term illusion to mean, in its proper definition, a distortion of reality, because they distort in this system our perceptions so that we'll perceive events as they want us to perceive them, rather than how we should see for ourselves how things actually are. The whole idea of the universal consciousness was pushed through Rosicrucian and Masonic societies from a long time ago, borrowing heavily again on Hinduism. And this whole thing about karma. Karma being this sort of debt that you collect along your life and in previous lives that you've got to pay off one day to the big bankers. However, it's not built on logic. Remember, it's a belief system that was created to be a religion, to control people, and it's done very well for thousands of years. Very well indeed. If you have no memory of previous mistakes and lessons that you've learned in a previous life, what's the point of simply living again and again to be burdened with more bad karma because you didn't know what to do right this time? If you have no memory, how can you rectify it? But it's not meant to be sensible. It was created to be a belief to control people. It also creates a form of hopelessness, you see, which is logical. Because karma built up in your life right now must be worked off in a future reincarnation. But when you're working it off, you're going to collect more karma in this life and then the next, which must be in turn worked off in another life. The Hindus call it the wheel of reincarnation, and Gandhi himself called it a burden too great to bear, because there's no release, it goes on forever. Yoga, which was made popular in the West and aimed again through the clever disguise of health, when they tried to get in at first, they knew it was part of a religion, a vital part of a particular religion, and so they tried to give it a scientific guise. Therefore, they pushed it through health clubs and women flocked to it. But yoga was actually developed as a means of escape from the endless wheel of death and rebirth, based on faith again and belief in the system of reincarnation. If you look at the actual religion, the higher religion that this is based upon, you go back through the path of karma to the beginning, and you'll find there's a stage when the Hindus claim, they called it gunas, the three gunas, or qualities of the Godhead were in perfect balance in the world, or in the void, really the void. All religions begin with a void, the nothingness from which it all came and to which it will all return one day. Then something happened to cause an imbalance in the Godhead, and the prakriti, they call it prakriti, which is manifestation. It all began, which brings about illusion, which we experience as the universe today. That's how it's taught in Hinduism. Therefore, bad karma began with an imbalance in the Godhead itself, and therefore is built into the very fabric of the universe, which means there is no escape. The high Brahmins understand that. Yoga or no yoga. If you go into the Buddhist understanding that's taught to the West, I say this, it's taught to the West, there's no reincarnation really of the individual soul. There's only a survival of consciousness for the enlightened, of course. Upon death, the individual consciousness is just like a drop of water going into the big ocean that then becomes an identifiable and undivided part of the whole, you might say. Then at once goes in and merges with the pool of universal consciousness, as they called it. That's what Carl Jung called it. And remember, too, Carl Jung gave a lot of good information about the mind, but he also was a top Rosicrucian who had been brought up to believe all this. So once again, as the consciousness goes into the pool of unconsciousness or world soul, from where it got separated, that's the end of it. So all is one, one is all. That's what they mean by that. You know. George Lucas did Star Wars, and he blended it together, and he called this great pool of consciousness that the Hindus use and the Buddhists use, he called it the Force. And that's what he talked about, that it could be tapped into and used for mystical powers and purposes. Whereas in Hinduism, the individual identity that you take on for a time is a source of pain, and it must be retained through countless reincarnations, which they call transmigrations of soul. They don't give you any moksha. Moksha is escape, really. That's what they call it, moksha. From time, sense, and the elements. In the West, they call that simply self-realization. And that only comes when an individual soul which they term the Atman, recognizes that the appearance of separation is an illusion and concludes that through the state of consciousness reached in yoga, that it is in fact identical with the universal soul or Brahman. All is one again. That's the big push. It's quite amazing that a religion that taught this has a Brahmin class and has had for thousands of years, that still remain on top and live incredibly well, while all those beneath them accept their slavery, drudgery, their mass poverty, sickness and so on, and no one will help them, because if to help you, your bad karma might brush off on me. Therefore, I can't help you, I must ignore you. And it makes it even better for me if I ignore you, because I can convince myself that it is your bad karma and you chose to come back like that, to suffer or be a cripple and so on. What an incredible religion that everyone's trying to adopt. It's interesting to note that Charles Darwin's, his grandfather's theory of evolution, comes from Hinduism. The whole idea being that to back up karma and countless recycles, it must mean you're going towards something. In other words, it's been blended with evolution. So that's why the modern New Age Hinduism for the West has adapted the idea of evolution. We're all growing towards something, which again is what an elite always want, is to guide whole herds of people along a path which they must make sense of, even though the making of the sense is given to them too. All the answers, the propaganda is given to them. It doesn't take logic in belief systems. Is based on faith, but it's also based on accepting what you're told by superiors. That's why they go off and hire what they call masters or high gurus and so on. Remember what Blavatsky said, the blending of science and religion. And out of that came a whole bunch of organizations which have done exactly that. They've blended these forms of combinations of Hinduism, Buddhism, and evolution, and mixed it in with science, because we've been taught that science is beyond question. It's not religion, is it? But in reality, it is too. At least the theories that are given to us is based on faith, since most of us cannot ever investigate or try to emulate empirical proof through experimentation. So it's based on faith. But it has the appearance in a white coat of being different than the old black-robed priests. Yet it's just the same. We're being misled in a thousand ways by white coats and experts on purpose. So as I say, various religions have done this, such as Scientology, and others, even psychology. Certain branches of psychology have branched off into it too. You can get lots of New Age psychology ones out there, bringing them all together and hypnotizing you into your past lives, and all this kind of stuff, to back up why you've got problems in this life. But you need to pay good money to find out who you were in a previous life. And it's amazing, it's always famous people. It's always famous. I've met 7 people who've been Cleopatra so far. And I tell each one of them, it must have been awfully crowded in there. You never find them being the peasants or the milkmaid. It's always someone who's famous. mainly because their knowledge of how ordinary people would live in those ages is not in their memory banks. All they're given is history to do with famous people. So they know little bits and pieces of it from Hollywood movies and so on. And that's why they identify with them. Yet the whole New Age movement was created to bring about a controlled society, to bring in eventually its natural progression into an earth-worshipping system, where the scientists will be the new priests and everyone will obey them as though they were holy people, altruistic-minded, who are out to save the world and the planet and everyone in it because they care. They're special people, they care. People will put themselves forward to be sterilized. It's already happening now, and there's one case I read about recently, offered themselves to be sterilized. Yet I always think of a book I have from 1920 from Britain, and it was the answer of a man in the British population to a book put out on behalf of the elite of Britain after World War I. The elite were complaining that not enough people had been killed and the population would rise out of all proportions and deplete the food supply and so on, and panic and crisis and all the rest of it. And this man had used the same statistics that they'd gotten from the British government to prove the reverse was true. And he asked a very important thing. He says, how come, and he named all the people who'd put their names to this particular book condemning the public. He says, how come each and every one of these famous aristocratic families has at least 10 to 15 children between each themselves per family? And here they were complaining about the commoners going to breed out of all proportion. Maybe we should ask the same elite families that are pushing for all this greenery and the greening of everything, which is all part of what I'm talking about, this religion that's going to be promulgated through the schools. It's already being done, actually. But taught as a religion would be taught. Why don't we ask those who push it to be the first volunteers for sterilization, since they're pushing this idea? If they're so eager to promote it through the populace, why don't they volunteer and be the first examples? And that will never occur to the followers. The ones, like all religions, start taking the new gospel to heart, and it sounds wonderful, save Willie, save the earth, save the trees. And you will get the fanatics who will go for that and do it. The suggestible, those who are emotionally unstable. Religion is a tremendous, powerful tool, always has been, because the devotees can give themselves fanatically to a cause. Years ago, they made a movie called Logan's Run, well worth seeing, to show you how a complete society can be created, given a culture, given all the things that make up that culture, all based on keeping the population at a specific number, even giving them a religion to match it. Religion using science. Remember that Bertrand Russell said that the people can be made to believe anything. He said it can be made the creed, meaning the belief of the vast majority of people given adequate government promotion and action. And that is true.